Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are again, folks. Every week, we bring you live from our 7 satellite studios, the Eastern Airlines Radio Show. With this, our 78th radio broadcast, your hosts welcome you to tonight's show. Let me introduce your host for tonight's show. Neil, Margaret, how are things down there in Ponte Vedra, Florida?
Well, Jim, here on Florida's First Coast, it couldn't be better. The weather's a nice 75 degrees. We have a few scattered thunderstorms just to make it interesting. And if I may, I would like to take a moment to congratulate our dynamic Jacksonville Jaguars on their preseason football game last Friday, where they defeated the New York Giants, believe it or not, 32-31. What a team and what a coach. Go Jaguars.
And guess what, Margaret? We had rain yesterday, and we had rain again today, so we're doing fine. We're in Jacksonville, St. Augustine area, and a beautiful part of Florida, northeast coast. It's called the First Coast. Many reasons for it being named the First Coast. We are the first coastline in the state of Florida, and at least on the northeast side of Florida. But we have so many attractions here that you would do well to spend a little time here in the Jacksonville area and see all that goes on. Jim?
Thanks, Neil. Going down the coast to Delray Beach, Florida, we have Jan Bushkai. Hi, Jan. Got anything that the Chamber of Commerce might want you to say about Delray Beach?
Sure do, Jim. Hi to you. I just want you to be aware that Delray Beach, the village by the sea, just opened a mid-priced hotel called the Hyatt Place Hotel, and it's located in the Arts District of downtown Delray. Delray Beach, that particular hotel, aimed for business from both the leisure and business travelers. It's not far from the beach. It's minutes from the beach. And guests can hop on a free city shuttle that stops at the hotel one block south of Atlantic Avenue near the artsy Pineapple Grove District, and then they can ride to the beach area. To quote Jorge Piguera, president of the Palm Beach County Convention and Visitor Bureau, you don't have to succeed to be on the beach. Hyatt Place is further proof that a hip urban center can support smart hotel projects.
Thanks, Jan. How about it, Chuck Albright, over there in the central part of Florida? How is life in the villages treating you?
It's treating us just fine. We're sitting in about a nice 78 degrees here. Our 50 golf courses seem to be filling up for the summer, and we've had some rain, too, off and on, which is really nice for all our vegetation and grass here. We have lots of events here that go on. We have dancing nightly at our community centers, and a lot of different clubs and organizations throughout the community. It is one of the great retirement centers of the world. Anybody want to know about it, just drop me a call, and I'll be glad to send you a package.
Okay, Chuck, thanks for that report. Now let's move up to Roaring Gap, North Carolina, and Captain Steve Thompson. Steve, what's happening in the Blue Ridge Mountains besides maybe some moonshining?
Well, Jim, I just had to close my office window because the temperature blowing through here was 67 degrees, kind of chilly. And speaking of moonshiners, we buried one of the best known last week, Willie Clay Call, who was 73 years old. Now, his favorite car to run the moonshine was a 1961 Chrysler New Yorker, a big finned car that could do 180 miles an hour. There was a reunion a few years ago, bootleggers and revenuers, and one of the law enforcement agents called Call as uncatchable. And by the way, Junior Johnson was one of the pallbearers. Jim?
By golly.
180 miles an hour. Was that running on moonshine, I wonder? Let's move out west.
Jim, just one thing I got to add to that, and that was on dirt roads.
Yeah.
That's right. That's exactly right. Between here and Atlanta.
Let's move out west to the Centennial State, where we find Bill Joseph in Grand Junction, Colorado. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Jim. Hello, listeners. How are you tonight? We've got a nice, cool 82 degrees right now with 30% humidity, which is rather high for this area. With that higher humidity, we've got clouds and wind gusts today. And now over to the newest member of our cast, Millie Peary. How do you like us so far, Millie?
Well, hello, Bill, and to all the hosts, and I'm so happy to be with you tonight. I'm here in Coral Gables, not too far from where, once again, the new Eastern Airlines will be headquartered. I'm so excited about the prospects of this happening again real soon. I'll be the first one in line, and stand back, folks, with my application for whatever, wherever, whenever they want me. And how I luck us so far? Well, everybody is just super swell. Jim?
Finally, we're back in New England on the island of Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, where we have our regular season influx of tourists. I don't know how many of you know that in the wintertime, our island is host to only 20,000 inhabitants. But right now there are 150,000 on the island. It gets so busy that I do my food shopping at 6 a.m. or 8 p.m. at night. This is Jim Hart. We're glad you tuned in for tonight's broadcast. We're so happy to have you here, and we hope you'll come up and visit us when you get a chance. This week's show, your host will bring you another true story from the Eastern Airlines files. So many true stories from our Eastern folks to keep you entertained from week to week. We hope you have one to send us for our future broadcast. Just go online to the website, www.ealradioshow.com, and then use the Contact Us page. Please include your contact info so we can call you. If we have any questions about your material, our call-in numbers are 213-816-1611, and the toll-free number is 877-572-1861. Let me repeat those numbers, 213-816-1611, and toll-free 877-572-1861. Now let's take a station break for just a minute and listen to an Eastern Airlines commercial.
It's Sunday in Mexico. The sun floods an arena. The historic duel is on. The sun spotlights a diver at Acapulco. Referees a children's game at the pyramids of Teotihuacan. The sun warms a beautiful mermaid in Puerto Rico and covers the vacation paradise of Miami. Every year, more people choose this one to the sun because Eastern service is as warm as the destination.
Fly Eastern, number one to the sun.
The green glow of the radar sweep showed the blazing lightning display ahead of their flight to be over 100 nautical miles away. From an altitude of 37,000 feet, it appeared much closer through the windshield, but distances on a black, moonless night over the ocean are often deceiving, especially where lightning is concerned. The weather map had shown a line of thunderstorms lying across their route of flight between San Juan and New York, with tops expected to be near 40,000 feet. The flight had just passed a beam of Bermuda, and a few minutes earlier, and from the radar image, the line was oriented in a northeast to southwest direction, crossing Airway Amber 20 at a point about 375 miles southwest of Bermuda, just about where the meteorologist on duty at San Juan had predicted. Noting the tilt angle of the radar antenna, minus 1 degree, the captain raised it to 1 degree above the horizon and watched the line of storms disappear from the scope. The meteorologist might be right about the tops, too, but it was past midnight local time, and the captain felt that there was a good chance that the storm cells would be dissipating at that hour. With any sort of luck, they would cross over the top of the front without having to divert from Amber 20. The captain reached up to the overhead panel and turned the seatbelt sign on and made the routine announcement on the public address system.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. We may encounter some light turbulence just ahead, so we're going to turn the seatbelt sign on and ask that you please fasten your seatbelt. Thank you.
As he stowed the microphone to the PA system, the door opened and one of the stewardesses entered the cockpit.
Can I get you guys anything before the road gets bumpy?
Nothing for me, thanks. Maybe Neil and Chuck might like something, Millie.
Well, let's see, Millie. I'll have a cup of coffee with two creams and two sweetened loaves. And if you have any more of that cheesecake left on a tray, I'll take one.
Sounds good to me, Millie. I'll have some.
Oh, my God. What's that flash up ahead of us? It looked like New York just blew up.
While she took the co-pilot and flight engineer's orders for coffee and cheesecake, the horizon ahead suddenly flared brilliantly as millions of volts of electricity discharged through the clouds. The spectacular display continued for almost half a minute with one bolt of lightning after another, crossing through the cumulus formations. She couldn't miss seeing it.
My gosh, what was that?
Oh, Millie, it's just a little fireworks about 100 miles ahead. We've got a little activity in the clouds in front of us, but we should be okay at our altitude.
Millie, you've been up on the flight deck before and seen lightning, haven't you? It's stuff we go around a lot out there, here over the water.
Where are we?
Oh, we're about 350 miles southwest of Bermuda, Millie. Don't worry. That's okay. That's just a little bit of weather that we'll be crossing. We'll probably go over the top of it, but if we don't, we'll work our way through it without too many bumps. Right, Captain?
Yeah, roger that, Neil. We've got to take care of our guests that came along for the ride.
We're not in the Bermuda Triangle, are we?
We sure are, Millie. We're right in the middle of it. Why, you got a problem with the Bermuda Triangle? We're not charging the passengers extra for flying through it. As a matter of fact, we're getting into New York quicker by flying directly through the triangle.
I don't believe you. You're kidding, aren't you? One of the passengers asked me a while ago if we would be flying through the Bermuda Triangle, and I told them we would never do that. We always go around it.
The flight crew could hardly believe what they were hearing. The poor girl now appeared almost hysterical with fear, and the loud guffaws coming from the co-pilot and flight engineer did little to relieve her anxiety. The captain made an effort to calm her.
Look, Millie, the whole thing about the Bermuda Triangle is nothing but a myth. It's just sheer bunk. I've been flying through here for almost 40 years, and you can take my word for it. It's no different to flying any other ocean area in the world. In fact, it's safer in many ways than the North Atlantic. The weather here is much better, and you don't have some of the communications problems that often is encountered in the far north.
As the nervous flight attendant disappeared through the door to the passenger cabin, the captain knew his little speech had fallen on deaf ears. She may even go back to tell her cabin crew of their location and put unnecessary fear into them.
Well, guys, score another one for Charlie Burlett.
Who the heck is Charlie Burlett? Is he one of our pilots?
No, Chuck. I'll tell you in a minute. Let me look at that line again.
Steve, let me adjust the antenna here again. Hey, from the way the radar screen indicates, it looks like we'll top most of this stuff. The cells are still there, but it looks like the line is broken. Looks like some are widely separated. You see here? It looks like there's some big holes here, indicating that a few minor changes in our course will allow us to fly between the tops of those huge anvil clouds with sufficient clearance to avoid any hail that might be falling from the overhang of the storm.
10 minutes later, as they passed over the line of storms, they encountered scarcely a ripple in the smooth air. But they all strained in their seats to marvel at the awesome beauty of nature's pyrotechnics as the almost incessant explosions of electrical energy played a dazzling visual symphony below them. For a moment, the captain considered making a brief comment to the passengers regarding the weather, but most of them were probably asleep. Why disturb them? He reached up and turned off the seatbelt sign and walked back to the galley for a cup of coffee.
Hey, Neil, do you know this fellow, Charlie Burlett?
No, I don't think I've flown with him either, but the captain will tell us when he gets back. I think he said that.
Hey, Luann.
Hey, guys. Looks like the most important one up here on the flight deck is missing. I need to ask him a question. What did he do, bail out in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle?
No, Luann, he went back to calm any fears the passengers might have about this beautiful display of God's lightning effect. Can I help you?
No, Chuck, I'll just go fetch him on my own. Thanks anyway. But before I leave, do y'all need anything?
No, that cheesecake will keep me filled until we arrive in New York. Luann, I always go to the Stage Bar and Grill on Broadway for my favorite liverwurst and onions on rye with mustard and a matzo ball soup. That's my favorite.
Let's take another short break and listen to another Eastern commercial.
Take a second now, look up in the sky, can't you see the blue there? That's an eastern plane flying through the sky, shouldn't that be you there?
You gotta believe.
A few minutes pass, and the captain returns to the flight deck.
How's everyone in the back, Captain? Luann was looking for you. Did you see her?
Yeah, I did, Chuck. She was having some problems. One of the passengers in first class seems like she couldn't do enough for her. She keeps pressing the call button for odd requests that Luann can't do anything about. And mainly the temperature and lighting, pillows, blankets, are all legitimate requests, but connecting flight information can't be handled until we get further in. We'll call for it about our flight connections as we get closer. I told her we'd do this.
Jeff, you said you would tell us about this Charlie fellow when you got back. Is now a good time? We're on the other side of the band of weather right now. Right, Neil?
Yep, it sure looks like CAVU. Clear and visibility unlimited from here to our arrival. Let's hear the story, Captain.
Okay, guys, many years ago, Charlie Berlitz wrote a book about the area of the Atlantic Ocean, which is called the Bermuda Triangle. And the word triangle was probably a misnomer, since the area in question has grown to include all the water from Bermuda to Puerto Rico on the east, Bermuda to Cape Hatteras on the north, and Hatteras to Puerto Rico using the segment of the circle following the east coast of the United States to Miami, then a line from there to Puerto Rico enveloping the islands of the Bahamas. Now, any expected event occurring in this vast expanse of the ocean is said to take place in the Bermuda Triangle and is subject to all the speculation of the triangle aficionados. Any vessel or aircraft that is missing and unaccounted for has become another victim of the mysterious and powerful forces of the Bermuda Triangle.
Well, it seems like this myth exists primarily because of ignorance. With very few exceptions, experienced airmen and mariners reject it totally. We have seen all emergencies develop suddenly, which is mishandled, could result in disaster, especially in an airplane. If the crew happens to be occupied with handling the problem and did not have time or were unable to communicate with the ground station or another aircraft, very likely no one would ever know what was happening.
Yeah, that's right, Chuck. Anyone that searched the sea for a missing boat or airplane knows that there's no guarantee a search will succeed. Inexperienced pilots often get lost in the Bahamas in small airplanes and occasionally are never found. I used to fly light airplanes to Nassau when I did charters out of Opa-locka, and I recall on one occasion hearing of a pilot in a Bonanza calling for assistance on the emergency frequency of 121.5 megahertz. Now, before I could pick up my microphone, the pilot of the Bahamas Air Viscount answered him. Now, the private pilot in the Bonanza said he was on a flight from Nassau to Georgetown and was lost. He'd been flying for almost 4 hours and was low on fuel. Georgetown on Long Island is 150 nautical miles southeast of Nassau and should have been about 1 hour flying time. Southeast of Nassau. And it should have been a simple route to navigate by steering 125 degrees to Exuma Cays, and a simple route by navigating 125 degrees to Exuma Cays, which would have been provided the chain of small islands to follow. Visibility was excellent, and ceiling was unlimited with only scattered clouds at 2,000 feet. Now, as I remember the following exchange, as best I can recall, between the pilot of the Viscount airliner and the pilot in the Bonanza, which kind of tells the tale. And,
Jim? Hang on a second. Somehow or another, we have lost Jim. Jim,
I'm here.
I recall that same. Are you there, Jim?
I'm here. I said, what's your heading?
Well, it's about 330 degrees. I think I see a small island to my left, but I've been chasing clouds, shadow clouds, thinking they were islands. I'm not sure where I am.
Do you have an ADF? If so, tune it to Nassau and tell me what it reads.
Well, what's the frequency of Nassau?
It's 251 kilohertz. It's on your chart.
The patient Bahamas Air pilot was becoming annoyed with the private pilot's lack of proficiency.
I think I have it now. The needle is swinging around between 20 to 40 degrees.
What is your heading?
Well, my compass is swinging around too, but... wait a minute. It's showing between 330 and 340. Is that what it should be?
Well, what is the color of the water to your left? Is it dark blue? Is it green or light green?
Well, golly, it looks pretty dark to me.
Okay, that should be Andros Island on your left. Turn to the right until the ADF needle reads zero, and then follow it to Nassau. And good luck.
Well, apparently the pilot of Bonanza landed safely in Nassau. The Miami Herald, which I scanned carefully for the next few days, carried no stories of light airplane being lost in the Bahamas. If the Bonanza had gone down, the Bermuda Triangle would have been credited with another victim. Ignorance takes many forms, but the type displayed by the pilot of Bonanza is unforgettable. He risked his life and the lives of his passengers by being totally ignorant of the most basic principles of navigation. We don't know that he had anyone with him, but the airplane had four seats, and you could safely wager your bank account that they were filled. They most always are when a four-seat airplane crashes. The type of nervousness displayed by our flight attendants is another matter. I've known Millie and her family for several years and know that she was a she's college educated, but deeply influenced by the commercial aspects of much of the modern literature. Fantasy and fiction are often more interesting than truth and logic, and it's much easier to sell. As a result, fantasy often prevails over reality, or sooner or later it becomes indistinguishable from the fact that the final result being the loss of much knowledge. Consider the example of Columbus. He knew the earth was round, and he had no doubt of that, but he didn't know how big it was. He could have known, however, as in 1732 years before Columbus began his famous voyage, Eratosthenes at the Library of Alexandria calculated the circumference of the earth at 24,000 miles. Unfortunately, Eratosthenes' efforts were lost in the squabbles of the intellectuals, many of whom were busy founding the Flight Earth Society, with Galileo as late as 1633 being sent to prison for expounding on Copernicus de Revolution bus Orbium Coelestium, postulating that the sun was the center of the universe and the earth rotating around it. It is any wonder that in the 20th century, we still find many educated people who support the myth of the Bermuda Triangle.
Chuck.
Gee, Captain, where did you learn all that stuff?
Well, Chuck, as all of you know, I'm about to retire now, but I'm only 1 year from the stupid retirement age of 60. Seems like suddenly, all of a sudden, I don't have the experience to fly as a pilot in command. One day I'm considered a senior, well-experienced pilot, and next day after 60, I no longer can be trusted to fly this 1011 from Miami to New York with passengers, much less fly safely through the Bermuda Triangle. Chuck, to answer your question, though, I enjoy reading all I can about physics, geography, world history, and more.
Well, hey, Captain, you know that lady in seat 3C you talked when you came back earlier? Well, she now is refusing to buckle her seatbelt after we made our announcements about starting our descent and prep for landing. I had Luann to try to convince her she had to have it on before we could land, but no luck with Luann either.
Well, Millie, let me tell you, just whisper in her ear that unless she fastens her seatbelt as required for landing, then the captain has advised you that he is going to pull up, go around, and circle the field until she does so. And he's also going to make an announcement over the PA system in the cabin saying, we're having to circle the field until the lady in 3C fastens her seatbelt for landing.
Millie leaves the cockpit and goes back to seat 3C to convey the captain's message in a stern manner.
That did it, Captain. You really wouldn't have done that, wouldn't you, Captain?
No, Millie, of course not. I would have continued the approach and landed, but I am known to have won a few poker games because of a little bluffing. Okay, guys, we've started our descent, so let's do the in-range checklist.
And to all our listeners out there tonight in Cyber Radio Land, we have a great treat waiting for you. Captain Bob Furman of Fayetteville, Georgia, sent us a song that he recorded. He plays the guitar and also does the vocals. We hope you'll enjoy his song, and this song done by one of our very talented members. Take it away, Bob.
Hear my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms. When I woke, dear, I was mistaken, and I held my head and cried. Hear my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, just how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. I'll always love you and make you happy. If only you could feel the same. But if you leave me to love another, you'll regret it all someday. You're my sunshine, my only sunshine. Made me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, just how much I love you. So please don't take my sunshine away.
Wow, Bob, we certainly enjoyed listening to your You Are My Sunshine. Bob, we would be more than happy to receive more of your songs in the future, if you would, please. By the way, there is a call in tonight. Frank Davis will be telling us about exciting plans for a get-together next year. Frank, are you on the line?
Jan, he, I don't believe, is with us at this time, but Bob Furman is here. And I've got a question. I believe one of our hosts said, can we purchase that song from you, Bob? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it was just done fairly extemporaneously. I'm a big hit with my grandchildren, and I have to sing it about 10 times before they go to bed at night. But anybody who wants one, I've sent one to you, Neil, or I'll try to figure out some way to get it out there where you can just download it free MP3, and I'll let you know when that happens.
Oh yeah, it's very, very good. I didn't realize that you had such a voice. I do recall that you do have several songs in an album, right, Bob?
Yes, sir. I have a Christian website that we've talked about before, and you can get there if you go to my website, bobfurman.com. It'll take you to this Christian Witness, and there's a music tab there, and you can download the music there, free MP3 and PDF.
Okay, very good, Bob. I do see that we have Frank Davis on the line. Frank, are you with us?
Good, Neil. How you doing?
Doing fine, doing fine. Thanks so much for coming on the air with us tonight, and you and I have been talking about an exciting event that is coming together, and you want to tell us a little bit more about it?
Well, another gentleman, let me first go off and say that I sort of got volunteered to sort of hear this situation in the very beginning and to look into hotel venues, and other people sent me emails and they called me and they made comments that, well, let's do this in Las Vegas or let's do this in Atlanta, let's do this someplace else or whatever. And I looked at cities like San Antonio and I looked at cities here east of the Mississippi because the populace of the Eastern family is east of the Mississippi. And Orlando is one of the few cities that has the capability of handling a reunion, convention, conference of the magnitude that we would like and hope that this reunion will expand to. We're taking bids at the present time from various hotels for hotel rooms, their conference rooms, their ballrooms, getting prices for dinners, cocktail party, welcome cocktail party. And there's a lot of legwork done that I have done myself. Another gentleman by the name of John Ruth, with apostrophe S, from Philadelphia, he has a travel agency, and he has stepped in to help with this. From various postings on Facebook at the various sites of Eastern Airlines, he has stepped in to help with this, and I've given him full rein about investigating hotels and stuff, because he is willing through his travel agency to put up his surety bond for airfares and for hotel rooms, and all these things have to be taken into consideration. There is a great deal of work in putting this together, and I wonder if a year from September 20th, if it's not going to be too short. John and I speak on a very regular basis, sometimes as much as 2 or 3 times a day about various things. We're both keeping each other totally informed about what's going on. And let me move forward with this right now, that we have selected the date of September the 20th, 21st, and 22nd of 2013. That's just a little over 13 months from now. And then we've got a lot of work to do. The hotels, people said, well, let's do a cruise. We looked into a cruise. That's just totally out. That's just too much expenditure. We are looking at hotels within the Disney complex. We're looking at hotels in the International Drive area. We're trying to get packages for people who want to come just for the day events that live here locally or within an hour's driving distance from Orlando. We're looking at a two-night, three-day package, a three-night, four-day package. We're looking at a package with even golf included. I know that a lot of the pilots like to play golf, and there is golf courses all over Central Florida. What we're also trying to do, and what has happened, is that we have gotten American and Delta Airlines on board to give us a 5% discount off of airfares that are booked through their website with a domestic and or international promo code. 5% doesn't sound like a lot, but on $300 airfare, $15 is not all that bad. So we're moving forward. There's a lot of work that has got to be done, and I'll try to highlight some things that we're doing. Is that we're going to have a memorabilia room, and the National Commercial Aviation Museum in Atlanta, headed up by their executive director and curator, Grant Wainscott, has agreed to bring to our reunion a trailer full of memorabilia from the airline, model aircraft. He's bringing a simulator that will be active, and anyone that wants to fly it, they can program whatever aircraft they want to fly. I told him today on the phone, I said, my God, Grant will be here for 3 months with the pilots wanting to fly that thing. So anyway, he's also going to bring mannequins of uniforms from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, all the way until the airline shut down 21 and a half years ago. We're planning a cocktail reception on Friday night, and then Saturday evening we're having a cocktail dinner party, and I have not spoken to the various presidents of the various organizations that contain personnel from Eastern Airlines. I'd like to get the presidents of each one of these organizations to do about a 5 or 10 minute speech. Our keynote speaker for the night is going to be Ed Wigle, who has confirmed to me that he would be happy to address us. And I spoke to him last week, and I said, it'd really be nice if the airline was up and flying before this reunion. And he said, I hope that it will be. One of the other things that we would like to do, and I would hope that people would consider this, is that we would like to appoint someone or ask someone to volunteer from each city that Eastern served to become what we call a station manager. That is to get the personnel that was stationed there in that city get the word out to them about this reunion. This is an all-hands reunion. It is not just for Eastern Airlines Retirees Association. We have their blessing, but this is just an all-hands. The pilots, the flight attendants, the ramp service guys, the mechanics, everybody, Rez, you know, if I've left anybody out, I'm sorry. I don't mean to. Let me apologize. But if we, the more people that we can get to, the better we are going to be. There's a lot of people that don't have the Internet or even on a computer, so we can't get them email. The website went up late this afternoon. It's very, very minute. There's nothing there other than saying Eastern Airlines All Hands Reunion, date September 20th through 22nd, 2013. It's under construction. There was a problem getting some stuff loaded up there. The packages, we will not come up with the packages here for another couple of months because of the fact we cannot book airfares out but 6 months prior to this reunion date. So the airfares that we have negotiated so far with American and Delta, they can be booked at this time. But other airfares that's going to be on the website, they cannot be booked except 6 months in advance because they're a consolidator fare. So let me move on. Let me think, what else do I need to put in here and tell everybody? One thing Neil Holland and I have had conversations about, and I asked him today, how about bringing the Eastern Airlines Radio Talk Show live from our convention or from our thing? And he thought it was a wonderful idea. What do you think, Neil?
Well, I think Luann would at least like to go.
Oh, I'm so excited. I just love to go to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Go to Atlanta? Who's going to Atlanta? You're coming to Mickey Mouse Land.
Oh, I love coming there, too, so I'll be right there.
Frank,
yes.
We have the host has some questions, and you've answered a lot of them, but we still have a few questions that do you mind now the time that we ask a couple of questions
may
of our
I,
own?
May I ask, let me just inject one other thing, and if you
sure.
and I discussed and you asked me about this afternoon.
Yeah.
The Eastern Airlines DC-7, it presently is parked at the U.S. Airways Museum in Charlotte, North Carolina. It blew a jug piston last November when Sully Sullenberger flew it up to Charlotte. The gentleman that owns that, the Historical Flight Foundation out of Opa-locka, Florida, decided to leave it there as a draw for their museum. It's a situation that it costs $8,400 a month insurance for that airplane to fly. It's another $900 a month to park it on the ramp at Opa-locka. Situation is that they have been trying to find a corporate sponsor, and they have not been able to do so to date. It would be about $150,000 annual endorsement or, you know, funding for that particular aircraft. The airplane uses 500 gallons of avgas at $6 a gallon per hour plus $10 of oil per hour. So that's quite a bit of an expense in operating that airplane. So, you know, just to fly it around for free, the man really can't do it. It's been restored by volunteers all these past years and been operated by volunteers on a nonprofit basis, which I guess they are a 501c3. But at the same time, I hate to see this airplane maybe go to the Air Museum in Kansas City. They have made some interest in the aircraft. I'd like to see it keep flying. The museum in Atlanta, it would have to go into a static situation there rather than a flyable situation. So we'll see where we're at. I'm hoping that we can raise some money through silent auctions and donations at our reunion to help preserve this airplane and keep it within the Eastern family. Neil, I think I've touched about everything. Now you have some questions. Go for it.
Well, first of all, do you have an official name for the reunion, or is it a convention, or is it a reunion? And what's the official title?
I guess at this point, since it's up on the website tonight, we'll just call it the Eastern Airlines All Hands Reunion.
Okay.
2013. You know, we can change the years down the road, but The Eastern Airlines All Hands Reunion. This is for everyone.
Anybody else have a question?
Yes, Mr. Davis. This is Millie. I just kind of wondered if I can bring family members or friends with me to the reunion.
You most certainly can. The more people, the merrier. If you've got friends that are friends of Eastern Airlines or want to come down, not a problem at all. We have a block of rooms at the present time, but 4,000 people. Okay, up front, we've got a block for 1,000 people. But John and I have said, and we thought, my God, this thing could expand anywhere from 2,500 to 5,000 people. And that's why Orlando was chosen. The more the people that want to come, the merrier. Bring your families. They grew up with this company.
Mr. Davis.
Call me Frank, will you please? Just call me Frank.
You must have ESP. I was just going to call you that, and I was going to ask you, could I do so? Actually, since now I know I'm not going to Atlanta and I'm coming down there, will there be time for visits to Disney or Universal Studios? I just love all that stuff.
All right, let me go back and expand on this subject here. And I had discussions with other people on Friday will be arrival registration. Saturday, well, Friday evening will be the cocktail party, you know, welcome, meet and greet. Saturday, the day is sort of open. The one thing that was asked of me here just recently, could we get out to all of the chapters throughout the United States that have EARA chapters, who have LIPA chapters, who have Silver Liners, who have Silver Falconers chapters? They canceled their meeting for that particular month of September 2013 and have it at our convention in Orlando during that time. There's meeting rooms available. We can get all those, and we can have, you know, various meetings throughout the day, the afternoon. Saturday would be a great time. We'll have the radio talk show going on. We'll have people mingling and, you know, walking up. And what do you think about what's going on here? And I think that's where we need to come and be unified, is that we all are one, not separated.
How about it, host? Got some more questions for him?
Yeah, I'd like to know, is there going to be a convention fee plus a hotel room fee?
The package will include your room, your cocktail party, your dinner. When I say cocktail party, it will be a cash bar with hors d'oeuvres. Dinner will be a cash bar with dinner included in your package. There's going to be a few other little amenities that I'm not at liberty to announce those at this time. As far as any free tickets going to Disney or tickets to Disney or Universal or SeaWorld, no, they will not be included. That would be an item that you would have to purchase on your own.
Jan, do you have a question? I had your microphone cut off. Are you back with us?
I am back with you. And, Frank, I know it's perhaps a little too early to make a determination, but do you anticipate that this event will be held every year or every 5 years, or do you have any feel for what the intent is?
Let me just express this. You know, I draw Social Security now, too, and I'm about the youngest in my Central Florida chapter. But let me just say that due to the age of many of the people and due to us, the amount of time that goes into putting this together, I would hope that it could be done every 2 years. And that's where people are even saying, why don't we do this in 2014? We have the energy right now. We have the power to do. We're moving forward. We chose September a year from now, 13 months from now. You know, let us get through that, and then we can decide. At the dinner on Saturday night, we can take a vote. Do you want it next year, or do you want it in 2 years? We can leave it to the populace.
Okay. We do have a caller from area code 208. Will you identify yourself, caller?
Oh, Neil, it's Alexa.
Oh, my God. Listen to who it is. My girlfriend.
Yeah, it's the old World Wide Web woman. How's Frank? How's Neil?
Oh, we're
doing
fine.
Great, Alexa.
And the rest of us are also, Alexa.
Good
for
thank you.
You,
Neil, for including that. Frank, I was just wondering, since so many of us have Easter memorabilia, have you all considered setting up a drop area for people to contribute things for possible door prizes or just for sniffing around?
Let me say this. We will be attuned to take anything for door prizes. Yes, there's going to be a memorabilia room that people can bring their individual items and set up. And you know, and I will encourage anybody to bring a place card to say this belongs to so-and-so.
I'm sitting down on the phone.
And it's a situation that Neil told me in conversation this afternoon. Apparently, he bought everything that Eastern Airlines had.
No, I know.
Neil's been saving stuff up to start the airline over with again.
Well, he's a man who had coffee pots. He's probably going to come to the convention bringing at least 3 or 4 58-foot semi-tractors with him.
Well, I could at least outfit about 10 11s. All of the dishes, all of the coffee pots, blankets, pillows, and what have you.
Oh, my God.
Well, it sounds very good, Frank. It's very exciting. I think everybody appreciates the hard work you've been doing.
Well, let me thank you, Alexis, and let me just point this out to everybody that's out here in the World Wide Web. If anybody would like to help volunteer to write some letters, we are trying. Our goal is to contact all the international and domestic carriers that touches the U.S. continent to see if they would give us 2 free passes someplace as door prizes or as silent auction that maybe we could use to earn money to get the 2 to DC-7 in the air.
That's a great idea.
You know, and it's going to take it's going to I'm one person. You know, John's got several people, and they're working on websites, they're working on bookings, he's got people that's going to be calling, whatever. And I understand, and there's a lot of, you know, cost associated with this. I'm doing it for gratis, and which I'm happy to do. You know, it's the love in everybody's life, or we wouldn't be here doing this. But if people would like to help volunteer, I will be glad to ask for your help. Now, I want to point out, and Neil, write this down. We do have an email address for people wanting to send email to me, and it's EAL for Eastern Airlines Reunion 2013@gmail.com.
Very good. I've got one question. Do any of the other hosts have a question? Go ahead before I ask mine.
This is Chuck.
Come on,
I'd like
Neil,
to meet.
Shut up.
Okay, let's hear from Chuck. I don't know whether you said that, but Steve, I think I heard you say you have a question.
No, it's not me, Neil.
Okay,
it was
maybe,
Chuck.
Maybe it was Chuck.
It's not a question. It's, Frank, have you looked at the Gaylord Hotel in Orlando? They do a lot of convention work, and I've been there several times, and it's a great place to stay.
It is a great hotel. I have stayed there myself personally. Let me express this to you. The Gaylord is out of the mainstream of the traffic, although you may not think so, but it is. There's going to be a lot of people. The hotels that we're looking at are right there. At the beach line and the I-4 area, the International Drive crosses the beach line just before Interstate 4. There's a lot of hotels that are capable of handling this large of an event and dinner. And we're trying to keep this as economically as possible. We're looking at rooms right now in the $100 range per night. trying to, you know, even negotiate those, because it is the softest time for conventions in Orlando. It's the way before the beginning of the convention season starts kicking off. And we're able to negotiate room rates down. We're able to negotiate a few little amenities that are going to be thrown in, hopefully going to be thrown in. The Gaylord, it is not advantageous to public transportation for those that do not want to rent a car. The hotel's got one hotel that we're dealing with has a really good deal for something like $15 round trip from the airport to the hotel and back. So, and it's 13.5 miles one way to the airport. So we're looking, we're trying to get the best for the least. We realize that there's a lot of people living on a, excuse the expression, a small amount of Eastern Airlines retirement and Social Security. And another
I
thing,
am. I'm waiting to talk.
one other thing.
Let's see. Who is? Hold on a minute, Frank. Let's see. Who's trying to talk?
I thought I just heard Bill Hirsch.
Yes, you did, Alexei.
Hey.
Oh, my God, Bill.
Go ahead and talk, Bill.
Oh, I love it.
Bill, what you got to say?
I want to talk to Frank for just a quick moment. I'll get right back to you, Alexei.
Okay.
Frank, as far as the DC-7, what we need is to get some corporate sponsors. And I suggested a number of months ago that we go out to companies that Eastern Airlines used on their contracts during the DC-7 era, like Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dixie Cups, which all the cups were made of, and, you know, the companies that made the silverware and all the china and stuff. But you need a good PR man that can go out and present something to these people.
That's a great idea.
All right, in response to your question, we at the present, I say we, John Roos at the present time has contacts with some very well-noted names within the airline industry and also in the world period. And I'm not at liberty to discuss who those are, but they're going to be approached here very, very soon about possibly endowing the foundation with that corporate sponsor.
Okay. Because I had made a list up quite a while ago and given it to the Historical Flight Foundation, because I went through back all the records that I have of all different companies that we dealt with and everything. To approach them, but apparently they don't have a good PR man that can go out and do this.
Well, from what I understand, having spoken with, I believe his name is Randy Jarman. I know his last name is Jarman.
Roger. I'm very good friends with you.
Roger Jarman. I spoke with him last week, and he explained to me fully about the airplane and what was happening, what their decisions were about leaving it in Charlotte instead of carrying it back to Miami.
Right. Yeah, I know.
If, you know, it would be nice, and, you know, I can't sit here and be critical of his operation because I don't know his operation.
Right.
So, I mean,
I'm more familiar with it.
Yeah. Well, there's some of us that are interested in keeping that bird flying. And
well, you know, Frank and Bill, we've got one of the best PR people that Eastern ever had. And in the form of, well, two of them. But Jim Hart, are you still with us, Jim Hart?
Yes, I am, Neil.
Hi, Jim. How you doing?
I'm good, Bill.
Hi,
you think
Jim.
You think you could sell something like this, Jim?
I think so. I had a question for Bill, though. Bill and I worked on a program regarding picking up money that the old Eastern Airlines had left with various firms. Do you have any feel, Bill, for how much money came in?
No, but I can try. I can get a hold of the attorney and find out.
That could be one source of income, because I understand that.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Yep.
It's a great idea.
Well,
the other thing I wanted to bring up was when you put this thing together for 2013, as soon as you can get some kind of a flyer put together, if you can get it to me, because I know I have hundreds of Eastern email addresses that people that don't belong to any of the chapters or any organizations all over the country that I could get it out to also.
Well, I'll tell you what. It will be, the website is going to be www.fly-eastern.com. As I said,
okay.
it's in its infancy right now. I will speak with John Roos and see what we can do about getting a flyer once we can get all of our packages and everything done. I mean,
right. Well, I need is one copy of a flyer, and then I can email that to people. I have no problem with that.
As soon as
the website's up, you got to let me know, or have Neil let me know.
Okay. Well, we plan to, if we can get a application for reservations, and like I mentioned earlier, Frank, I would suggest you go to repaonline.com, and that's the Retired Eastern Pilots Association's website. They have some great forms there that they use for their conventions.
Yeah.
I don't think it's copyrighted, so tell them that Neil said use whatever you wanted to use from it. But a form like that we can put on our website, perhaps REPA could put it on its website, and Silver Liners, Silver Falcons, EARA, included.
There is no ERA website.
Well, there should be one coming forth.
The last president that just passed away shut it down over a year ago because he said what they had no money and he didn't like it.
Yeah, I realize that.
He knows all about it.
I realize that, Bill, because I just talked to Vito last week. I had a face-to-face meeting with him down in Miami. So things are changing around. So we can't do these things overnight, just like Frank is finding out about putting a website together. But we do have time, and I believe that with the support of all of these organizations, as a matter of fact, I don't see why some of these chapters, like Jim, yours over in West Palm Beach, might be able to, instead of having your normal monthly meeting, have it over in Orlando at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so these things I talked with Frank about earlier, and so the more people you get involved in this thing, the more successful it's going to be and you'll have. And so that's my thoughts.
Alexa, you still there?
Of course I am. I'm eavesdropping on every word from every one of your cute little mouths.
I swear, Neil, she haunts me. She haunts me all the time.
And I can tell you that Alexa and I will have a wonderful book that we can market at the convention. Right, Alexa?
Yes, honey, I'll autograph my part.
Hey, Neil, let me tell you, Alexa and I have a few stories we could tell, too.
Yes, we could. And, Bill, you don't know how hard it has been for me not to call you my favorite nickname. You better be proud of me, baby.
Well, Luann is already gone out and made her PR pictures, and she's signed them with love, Luann.
Okay. I'm gonna let you go, Neil, because I got another call coming in on my phone.
Okay,
talk to you guys later.
Good talking, Bill.
Bye bye.
Neil, if I can just sign off with this last comment, I would appreciate it. I would ask that everybody please allow us a little bit of time, a little bit of leeway in getting this thing put together. You know, there's two of us that have taken this by the horns and trying to move forward with it. If I know that we cannot satisfy everybody's demands, some want to go to Disney, some want to go to Universal, some want to stay here, some want to go on a cruise, please understand, we are doing our best to make satisfactory arrangements to satisfy everybody that's going to be in attendance.
Okay. Thanks so much, Frank, for coming with us. And we'll hear more about what the progress of this endeavor will be in future shows. Right, Frank?
Thank you. Look forward to it.
Margaret?
I'm going to sign off, you guys. I hope you have great days, both of you. All of you.
Thanks, Lexi.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Neil, I understand you received an important letter from U.S. Congressman John Mica. Would you like to tell us about it?
Yes. We read it last week, and I think it will be good to read it again. And along with reading of this letter, I do have Captain Bob Furman is still with us, and he can give you a little background information that I was unable to give beyond just reading the letter. But it's dated July 31st, 2012, so just recently. I got a letter from Congressman John Mica, who is the chairman of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, United States House of Representatives. He said, "Dear Captain Holland, thank you for your letter regarding the 1989 labor dispute between former Eastern Airlines and its collective bargaining units. I have long regretted the way in which the company and its employees at the time were treated and the unfortunate demise of a fine airline. The company's bad business practices and the detrimental impact they had on so many hardworking people was very unfortunate. In response to your letter, I have instructed professional committee staff to gather information on this matter. In all honesty, I believe it will be very difficult to go back and re-litigate or seek to take retroactive action after more than two decades. However, at a minimum, we certainly need to make sure that something like this does not happen again. Please know that the Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure continues to monitor current business practices and labor negotiations at U.S. Airlines. There have been many lessons learned from Eastern's experience, and since then, several airlines have been created, merged, bought out, and shut down. The industry will continue to evolve, and so will management-labor relationships. Thank you again for taking time to share your concerns with me. Please do not hesitate to call on me again if I can ever be of assistance to you or your family. Sincerely, John L. Mica, Chairman." Bob, do you have additional words about that?
I just want to say a few things. And first, I want to acknowledge the great part that Captain Neil Holland had in this and getting information that I garnered over the years, plus others, into the hands of a congressman through a constituent. And I think it's extremely important to look in the letter from Congressman John Mica, who is the chairman of the U.S. House Transportation Committee, and he is the congressman from the 7th District of the state of Florida, where he says, "I have instructed professional committee staff to gather information on this matter. We have never had anybody truly look into what really happened to Eastern Airlines. I was a very small part of an extremely significant grassroots effort in American history in the summer of 1989 when we lobbied 93 U.S. senators with 500 Eastern employees in 3 days, and we successfully passed cloture about 2 months later in the U.S. Senate, 61-38, and placed House Bill H.R. 1231 on President H.W. Bush's desk in November of 1989. Now, that bill was vetoed, so it was simply to set up a committee of two Democrats, two Republicans, to hear our grievances non-binding to the president. Through the years, I was able, along with others, to put information together, which I turned into a manuscript that was referenced by my congressman, Lynn Westmoreland, of the 3rd District of the state of Georgia. This entry into the congressional record is Volume 155, Washington, Wednesday, November 4th, 2009, number 163. Congressman Lynn Westmoreland references this manuscript, and it has significant information which is criminal in nature, i.e., one example was Eastern pled guilty to 7 counts of maintenance fraud out of approximately 42-count indictment. Now, we could not fly those airplanes at midnight on March 4th, 1989, our mechanics were extricated off the property, and we knew there was something very askew with our maintenance programs. So finally we have someone like John Micah who's going to take professional staff and look into our grievances. It's extremely important. Again, I want to thank Captain Neil Holland for what he's done. Plus, there are other issues, too much to say here. But look up that congressional record. Again, Volume 155, Washington, Wednesday, November 4, 2009, and number 163, and that manuscript was then put in front of the Aviation House Subcommittee. And it's been, that was on November of 2009, and it's been 3 years, but we've been over almost 23 years since we were forced out of our jobs. Maybe somebody at this time now is really going to look at us, and something may be able to get done. So thank you, Neil. Appreciate it.
I'll put some information referencing the letter. As a matter of fact, I'll place the letter on the Internet website, and we'll put some comments about what this means. And thank you so much, Bob, for what you've done, because you've been working on this for years. You've had even at that time Representative Newt Gingrich. You've talked to so many people, and you have a letter that was sent to you direct from the desk of George H.W. Bush and all of that. So perhaps we can put a lot of this information on the Internet, and people can understand it a little bit better.
Thank you, Neil. It's for all of our families at Eastern. Thank you very much.
Very good. Jan?
Well,
I think I hear some background music coming up.
Jan? Yeah?
Well, folks, that's about all the time we have for our show tonight. We hope you have enjoyed very informative show and our trip down stories in the Bahama Triangle. We hope the new employees with the new Eastern Airlines will start fresh memories about their days with Eastern, from their training days to the on-the-job experiences, to tell their kids and grandkids and to share with future employees. If we look back at our careers with Eastern, there are stories that are etched in our memories, such as some of we're told this evening. We certainly would like to hear about them. The memory of Eastern Airlines will never fade if we keep the love we have had over 85 years burning in our memories and hearts. And we would like to remind you of the book that's in progress. It is being written about the stories from the men and women of Eastern. Send any material you would like to have considered for the book to host@ealradioshow.com. We'll get right back with you about your story. Jim, that's about all the time we have this week. I hope that our listeners have found it very informative. And how about taking the program, the broadcast, to the archives as I hear the sign-off music in the background?
Certainly, Jan. Well, that's our show for tonight, folks. We'll be back with you next week, same time, same station. Tune in to www.ealradioshow.com. And like one of our popular commercials for Eastern, we have to earn our wings every day. Maybe in the not-too-distant future, we will have a commercial with the theme, We're Back Home. And we hope we are in your home every Monday evening, same time, same station, at the EAL Radio Show. Next week, we hope you once again fly Eastern Radio as we bring you more Eastern news, history, and talk with former Eastern employees and friends of Eastern. Be sure to tune in and call in at 7 p.m., when flight number 79 departs the gate. Oh, and by the way, we have been on the air for 1 year and 6 months with this episode number 78. We'll see you on board next week. And from all the gang here at our studios and remote locations, we all say good night, Eastern.
Good night,
Eastern
family.
Good night, Eastern family.
And good night to you, Luann, wherever you are.
Good night, Jim.
I'll be